The Bible said over there in verse 33 of Matthew 27, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. They parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. Thank you, Father, tonight for this season of the year. We celebrate Christmas, the birth of our dear Lord. Lord, we're coming upon that day when we celebrate the resurrection of our dear Lord. Lord, it's in our hearts in these days to look at those events somewhat leading up to the resurrection. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll bless the message and bless the messenger tonight and give us all, Lord, ears to hear something that would help us a little further down the road. And God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. This morning we spent quite a bit of time looking at this place called Golgotha and how that it is a work of fulfillment. How that God had already in times past told about this time that would be coming when the Son of God would hang on that old rugged cross in shame so that you and I could have our sins and our shame removed. Amen. Tonight, I want to go on into this second part of the message. It was not only a work of a fulfillment, but it was a work of the Father's love. And I want to look at this tonight. And we talked this morning towards the end of the message how that it's a work of the Father's love for the sinner. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And I looked at Hebrew or that Greek word up, and it means, when you say draw all men, it means to attract by an inward power. And I believe that in these days, Brother Jeff mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, that many times that's overlooked in trying to get people to Christ. People are not coming to Christ unless they're attracted by that inward power. They must be convicted and they must be convinced of their sin and convicted of His righteousness. Draw all men to attract. I praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jeremiah 31:3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." How many can remember when the Lord revealed that to you? But listen to this part. He said, "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." How many remembers when He drew you to Himself? Amen. I believe that's absolutely essential. And this work here that's taken place at Golgotha is a work of the Father's love for the sinner. I thank God that He loves sinners. I thank God that He saves sinners. I thank God that He changes sinners. Amen. And I thank the Lord that He's given us a burden for sinners. Amen. The Father's love for the sinner. The second thing I want to look at under this second part of the message is the Father's love for the saints. You say, "Preacher, how could that be pictured at Golgotha?" Let me say this to you. 1 John, remember? We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. I thank God in 1 John there we have a purpose in our lives because of Calvary. Why do we love Him? Why do we want to serve Him? Why do we want to honor Him? Why do we want to tell our children and grandchildren about Him? Why do we want others to know Him? Simply because He first loved us and we have a purpose in our lives. But then the Bible said, "having made peace through the blood of His cross." Not only do the saints of God, because of Calvary, have a purpose in our lives. How many's got some peace tonight? Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm not going over there tonight, amen, and try to figure up all my sin and try to make sure I didn't miss anything. You say, preacher, why? Because Calvary took care of it. I've got some peace tonight, amen. I couldn't come up with all of it if I wanted to, amen. But I thank God He took it all, took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross. And we have peace tonight through the blood of His cross. Listen to these verses of Scripture. There's one more thing I'll give you before I move on in the message about the love, the Father's love for the saints. The Bible said in Ephesians 1, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. I'm looking at this little word, redemption. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Listen to Hebrews 9 and 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. Hebrews 9, 15. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I thank God tonight. Listen, He's died for the saints. He loves the saints. It's pictured at Calvary. It's pictured at Golgotha. We have a purpose in our life because of Calvary. We have peace in our life because of Calvary. But thank God we have a promise tonight because of Calvary. Amen. A promise of an eternal inheritance in Him. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't get all bent out of shape out of what somebody's going to leave me down here. If you do, that's all right, I guess, but I don't get all bent out of shape over it. My mama whispered and said, honey, if I got anything that you want, I'll tell you what's the truth. I'm glad my mind's a million miles away from that. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I have an inheritance that's worth talking about tonight. Eternal in the heavens, where the moths can't get to it, and the thieves can't get to it, and the rust can't get to it, and Jesus gave it to me. Amen. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. How come, preacher? Calvary. It was all purchased and paid for on an old rugged cross at Calvary. So it's a work of the Father's love. I've never looked at this way before, and I don't really think I'm stretching anything at all. I believe the Lord showed me something as I was studying. We see the Father's love for the sinner. We see the Father's love for the saints. But I want us to see something at Golgotha that I've never seen before. Maybe somebody else has seen it a long time ago. But I see the Father's love for His Son. Stay with me just a minute. You say, preacher, I don't understand how you could see that. I don't either, apart from the blessed Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you something tonight. I believe when I get done in just a minute, amen, you'll say, hey, the Father loved His Son as He hung there on that cross. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here in Hebrews 12 and 2, y'all pray for me. My throat and head's trying to close up, and I don't want to be obnoxious. But I do want to preach what God gave me tonight. Amen. The Bible said here in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, there was some joy that was set before Him? How many knows that? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. There was something coming, amen, that made it worth it all, amen. And I'll show you a couple of things tonight that I believe will be evident from the Word of God. Number one tonight, in this area of the Father's love for His Son, just a couple of things. There was a body that was purchased at Calvary. There was a body. The Father loved the Son. And a body is going to be purchased to whom
Christ would be the head and the church would be the body of the living Lord. Let me show you something here tonight. Stay with me just a minute. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, but I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? In 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And he said, preacher, I don't know where you're getting all this. Listen to me just carefully. There wasn't none of us set in the body until we were purchased by the blood. Are you listening to me tonight? The Bible said we're not our own. We've been bought by a price. Thank God at Calvary, God was not just proving his love for the sinner. He was not just proving his love for the saints, but he was proving his love for the Son of God. He's saying, I got something for you, son, on down through time. I've got a body, the body of Christ. Now listen, in Colossians 1:18, it wouldn't mean much without a body. And there at Calvary, God said, son, I'm going to give you a body. And you can be the head. I thought about this. I believe y'all can relate to this. I have it in my heart tonight to just encourage us. Because listen, there's lots of different functions in the body. Ain't that right? Do you know what? You know what I believe pleases the Lord? When he sees everybody don't want to be the toe. Everybody don't want to be the ear. Everybody don't want to be the nose. Amen? Everybody don't want to be the hand. But everybody just wants to be what he wants them to be. And he sees a body working together. Brother Brian, God give me this. I couldn't help but think about Bible school. How there'll be a buzz out yonder and a buzz in here and a buzz over yonder. But we're all working together trying to get somebody some help from the Word of God. Amen. Working together. We can't all do the same thing. I'm telling you, not everybody can sing in the choir. But I thank God for those that are singing in the choir. Not everybody can lead the choir. But I thank God for our choir leaders. Amen. I thank God tonight. Listen, not everybody can be a deacon. But I thank God for our deacons. Not everybody can teach a class. But I thank God for our teachers. But everybody can do what God wants you to do. In the body of Christ. I never thought about that before. But there at Golgotha, God was not just loving on sinners and not just loving on saints, but he was loving on his son. And his son said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw a day when it was going to be worth it all. There's a line in a song that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. It'll be worth it all. And it was to him that day. Now, notice this now. In the Father's love for his Son. This is a different term than anything I've ever heard. But not only was there a body purchased at Calvary, God was saying, son, I love you. I'm going to give you a body. You're going to be the head. You're going to have the preeminence. And I'll tell you something right now. God will always make much of the church that makes much of Jesus. Amen. He is the one to have the preeminence. Amen. He is the one. The body. Now listen. Not only was the body purchased at Calvary, but there was a bride that was purchased at Calvary. In that wedding announcement. Amen. There are going to be some happy times. Amen. Because it is holy matrimony. Amen. When a man and a woman come together and get married. Amen. And I tell you, listen, there's going to be a happy time one day when you and I are invited to the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. And there's going to be a wedding in glory. But that was purchased at Calvary. You see, in Genesis, how many remembers when Abraham sent his servant out to look for a bride? Amen. You know, I learned something. Actually, it says a wife. Because that little computer program, when I typed in the word bride, it didn't pop up over in Genesis 24. And I always thought that servant was going to look for a bride. Well, how many knows if you get a wife, you got your bride. Hallelujah. Amen. And that servant was to go out and seek out that bride for Isaac. And Abraham made him put his hand under his thigh and swear that he wouldn't go to another people. Amen. But he'd go to his own people and find the bride for Isaac. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, what about that servant? I believe he's a good type of the blessed Holy Ghost. You want to know why I'm in the bride tonight? Because that unnamed servant, the Holy Ghost of God, came to where I was. What was he looking for? He was looking for another part of the bride that Jesus died for and purchased at Calvary. Amen. Thank God tonight I'm in the bride. Thank God tonight the bride is what's going home. Amen. To see the Lord one day after a while. Listen to these verses. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. This bride is gorgeous. I'm telling you, the bride of Christ is gorgeous. I'm telling you, the bridegroom tonight is gorgeous. And one day God is going to allow us to get together around the throne of God. Amen. The beauty of the Lord. Listen in John chapter number 3. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. And there came in Revelation 21:9, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. How many's glad to be a part of the bride tonight? That purchased possession of the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God said over there in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. I believe tonight, when God's servant, the Holy Spirit, is having his way in our lives and our lips are saying to a lost world, come, come, come and be a part of this great bride, this great body that was purchased at Golgotha. Amen. Thank God tonight there was a body that was purchased. The Father's love for his Son. I don't know about you tonight, that I believe Jesus is glad tonight for that place called Golgotha. I believe tonight the Father is glad for that place called Golgotha. And I know this tonight, I'm glad for that place called Golgotha. It was there. The Bible talked about the church in the book of Acts, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Oh, thank God tonight for the purchase. He purchased a body. He purchased a bride. Let me give you this tonight in closing, the last part of the message. Not only was it a work of fulfillment, and not only was it a work of the Father's love, but I want to give you this tonight about Calvary and about Golgotha. It is a work that was finished. I don't know about you tonight, but I've started a lot of things that I didn't finish. But I thank God that in the mind of God back yonder, before he even said, let us make man in our own image, I'm glad there was a work, amen, that would take place on Golgotha's hill. I'm glad when Jesus, my friend, yielded up the ghost, he didn't say, I've got most of it done. Listen to me tonight. Right here's blessed assurance. Right here's peace above all peace. It is finished. Our salvation, we can't add to it. We can't take away from it. Thank God it was purchased on that old rugged tree. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm going to rest right there. I'm going to rest right there. This old body don't get much rest, but thank God Almighty, my soul rests in Him tonight. I thank Him tonight for that work that is finished. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. You know why tonight? You know why it angers God? You know why many will say to Him in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in Thy name, cast out devils in Thy name, prophesied in Thy name?" He'll say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." You know what they're saying when they go leaning all that stuff for salvation? Going to tell God, "I've been in a water hole. I've been sprinkled. I've joined the church. I haven't missed a day of Sunday school." I'll tell you why it upsets the Lord. Because, my friend, redemption was not purchased with a card. It was purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can be redeemed is through the finished work of Calvary. It is finished. And it upsets and angers a holy God when somebody comes along trying to add to it and take away from it. Amen. Thank God it's finished. Now listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. I didn't realize this till I studied. "But I have a baptism," He said, "to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" That right there is not talking about the Jordan River. How many knows that? He's going to be baptized with the fire of God's judgment on sin. And He said, "How am I straightened?" He said, "It's like I'm in a bind until it be accomplished." If you'll study that word "accomplished" out, that means He got it finished. Amen. He didn't pay. Listen. Jesus paid it. Somebody tell me the word. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I don't know about you tonight, but I rest in that He paid all of our sin debt. Let me leave you with this tonight, and I'm done. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Apostle Paul had one problem pronouncing one word in that Hebrew or in that Greek or any of that stuff. I'm telling you, he was a well-educated man. He took all of his education, everything in his background, everything in his credentials, piled it up in a pile. He said, "It's a dunghill. I want to win Christ. It's Golgotha that made a difference in my life. It's Calvary." Amen. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, God being our helper around here, we'll keep teaching it, won't we, brother? We'll keep lifting Him up. Amen. He's not going to be lifted up to die again, but we can exalt Him. And we can tell a lost and dying world our redemption was purchased. No wonder. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. No wonder the Apostle Paul, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me look here and see. I'm not sure now. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2nd chapter 2? Wait just a minute and I'll tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me look at it and I'll tell you in just a moment. Listen to what Paul said. It is. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you." Well, you think about that. When Brother Vinoy was asked to come here and preach, Brother Rick Hall called me and asked me if I would. I had 2 Sundays open in March a year ago. I'm going to ask you something. Did you hear any excellency of speech? No, I watch English teachers cringe when I preach. Amen. I don't do it on purpose. I don't have to. Amen. And I don't like make light of education. But I'm just telling you right now, listen to what Paul has to say. Listen to what he said. He said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Most of the time when you're studying about Paul, you don't think of him that way. But that's what he said. And he's talking to a carnal church. He said, I stood before you in weakness and fear and trembling. But watch what he said. He said, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Listen to me tonight. There are going to be a lot of people bust hell wide open because their faith is standing in the wisdom of some eloquent speaker. Paul said, I didn't come like that. He said, it's not about my speech. It's not about man's wisdom. It's not about enticing words, but it's a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor, listen to me carefully, I'm coming to a close, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. What's this? Glory to God before the world unto our glory. Watch this. And I'm done. We started off with fulfillment and God brought us right back there. God ordained before the world unto our glory. Watch this now. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that. I thank God tonight for a bunch of folk that just love the old time book. Sing me a song about Jesus. Sing me a song about His love. Love the old time way. Dear Lord, tonight, we don't need something new. Just lead us, Lord, to Calvary. The songwriter set up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and torn. How many believes His body was ripped? Not a bone of Him was broken, but Isaiah said His visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. You can come away from Calvary singing, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. It's a work that was finished. Finished. Brother Jeff is beginning in his Sunday school class, and it's needed teaching and training people how to talk to others about their soul. But I tell you one thing that's overlooked, even in presenting the gospel, is the price that had to be paid for sin. When you get a sinner standing there, understanding that it wasn't the nails that held him there, it was His love. They kept coming by and saying, if you're the Christ, come down. How many knows He could have come down? But there would have been a problem had He come down. The work would not have been finished. I'll give you this in closing. Didn't plan on it, but over there in Nehemiah, you remember when Nehemiah was up there working on the wall with the people? Brother Brian, I believe it was in the plain of Ono. O-N-O, I believe it was. Brother Grizzle, you might help me remember. But they wanted him, Sanballat and Tobiah, I wanted him to come down and discuss some things. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot. I've never tied those two together before, but it ties in there good. Jesus was doing a great work. I believe he would say with Nehemiah, I cannot come down. And I'll tell you something right now, folk. Listen to me. We stay around here long, old Slewfoot will be wanting some of us to come down too. Come down and talk to him in the plate of, oh no, come on down off of that wall. It ain't worth trying to win that community, God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Because he finished it, we ought to have a determination in our heart to finish what God started on this hill 30-some years ago. The work that he's given us to do. Have he's glad you come tonight. Have he's thankful for a place called Golgotha. You know, I want to have a wonderful time on Easter Sunday. But I tell you, God's leading my heart into it right. I'm not skipping Gethsemane to get to the garden tomb. And I'm not skipping Golgotha to get to the garden tomb. We'll have a wonderful time. Amen. If we'll stay close to the cross. Stay close. Father, thank you tonight for these dear people that have gathered in this room. God, I know that every one of us tonight that are saved have a work that, Lord, you desire for us to finish. Lord, the Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me, so that I might finish my course with joy. God, it's in my heart tonight to see the dear folk at Bible Way finish the course with joy. Lord, there was a joy that was set before you. God, I believe there will be a joy set before us. If we'll just stay by the stuff, stay faithful. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that's never made that trip to Calvary, God, that tonight might be the night. Lord, if there's a love that's grown cold and the fire of God's love in that heart has gotten cold, I pray that tonight that fire would be warmed at Calvary.